open our Bibles. Tonight we come to chapter 9 of that wonderful letter to the Romans. And I want you to just ponder for a moment, which I'm sure you've been thanking the Lord, probably many years ago even, where the Spirit of the Lord takes you through when he takes you into Romans. Where the Spirit of the Lord has taken us in the first 8 chapters of Romans. You think he's taken us from dead in sin to seated together with Christ. You think in the seated together, not just seated, but my, oh my, offered into this midst of the throne glory with him. To jointly rule and reign together, to be glorified together with him. That all of creation is groaning, even at this very moment, for the manifestation of the sons of God. My, oh my. You talk about the depths of mercy. Amen. And I thank God we're going to be even more encouraged in mercy tonight. But I think of this, and I have to tell you, you can't help but be really overwhelmed in the passion and the power and the intensity of the plan of the grace of God. I mean, that grace is passionate. That grace is intense. That grace plan is all-powerful. That grace plan is all-loving. And I thank the Lord that he's given us all grace for that grace plan. Now, as we go forward here into Romans chapter 9, and actually chapter 9 through 11, the Holy Ghost causes Paul's heart and his thoughts to turn to Israel. So let's go ahead and just read the first 3 verses, and I believe it'll capture our attention, and that is who the Lord is going to, again, minister to. And this ministers to us in such precious way. So this is for us as well. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, this is really an astonishing statement that comes through the Apostle Paul. If you think where his life came from when he was named Saul, he was looking for any way, anyone, any time to judge, condemn, to go at and basically destroy. But here he is overwhelmed with mercy. He's overwhelmed with love and compassion. And matter of fact, the very love and compassion of Jesus Christ himself. Think of where the Lord has taken the chief of sinner and where he's brought him in love. Sometimes we think our own lives and get so stuck. Well, I can't love him and I can't love her. Or I hear this often. Well, I love him, but I don't like him. And my, oh my, come on. Think of the defiance of Israel at this time, and especially the defiance. It was towards the Lord. He knew that, but it was towards Paul himself. They hated him. They sought to kill him. And matter of fact, the Lord allowed it finally to happen. But they wanted him dead, but yet you see how his heart turned to such love, the very love of Christ, as he even went to the cross? There's such similarities and parallels in that, because that's what Christ in you, the hope of glory, can become. It's that love, praise his name, to where the love of God, as Brother Hill used to say often, the love of God makes you love everybody. Well, it overflowed for his Israel kinsmen. And it overflowed for them because they were blinded to see that the only way to be justified was by faith. And that's what we're going to hit in here right now. Something that I believe we've heard over the past 8 chapters. We're justified by faith. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 4 and 5. It says here, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? Whom are Israelites? To whom is given the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. See, Israel had, and understand this, still has the blessing that is over all other nations. If you can't see that and how God keeps Israel, you're not alive. And it's the truth, you're dead. The ones that are dead, and this, the walking dead, do not see this. But those that at least will recognize in any way, shape, or form, there is something about Israel. As that man, I told you many times, a very dear man, and I loved him so much, Jewish man out there in California, God had him to do me such good in my life, taught me things of business that no one ever had brought to me before, and just a real influence in that way, and he cared for me because I know God allowed him to care for me. But I remember him making the statement, he says, well, I'll tell you what, when you explain to me Israel and how God's kept him, and you explain to me Israel and how all of the Arab countries hate them. Well, if you can explain to me any other way about anything but God, then I say that there will be no God. He was something. He said, right there tells you there is a God. But they were blessed above all the other nations. If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says right in verse 6 of chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. He's speaking here to Israel. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. And I'll tell you what, praise be to God, we're right at that point right now. We're going to get into what's called election. And let me tell you something, the election of God is love. And I thank the Lord, because the Lord God so loved, he gave his only begotten Son. And he did, and he loved the world, and he gave him to us. And you can see how for us the Lord is. But this is sweet because all the promises of the Old Testament were given to Israel. Even the church today, if you think about it, it came through God's chosen people. And it did. The church came through, if you really want to think about it, it came through the disciples. It came through the Apostle Paul. I believe each and every one of them were Jews. It gets pretty deep. Amen. But in verse 5, as we read there, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Even Christ Jesus, praise the Lord, through the line of David. It's all there, isn't it? See? It all came through that. But here's what's so beautiful about that statement. Christ came, who is over all. Christ came, who is over all. Hallelujah. Let's go on, verse 6. Now, is not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are all the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Abraham here, and what this is saying, and as we know, the word of God tells us, is the father of the entire fleshly line. Jew and Gentile, thanks be to God. But there is more. There is a line out of Abraham that enjoys the promise. And as we know, that promise, it's not only offered to the fleshly line, but to all them also that believe. This is the promise, praise God, which is by faith. We've been reading that for the last 8 chapters, have we not? I thank God for that. But this is the promise that is by faith. And they must receive the seed, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the seed that remaineth. And we're thankful for this. And in Christ, that's where all the blessings flow. And it's in Christ where all the blessings flow, whether to the line of Abraham or to the church, and to that I say hallelujah and thanks be to God. It was always the blood. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Without the remission, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we're thankful to God that this is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 8 through 12. What we come to here is the offspring of Abraham. With that offspring, we have Isaac and Ishmael, and we have Jacob and we have Esau. So let's go ahead and read from verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. So, here is your explanation. They are not all Israel, which are out of Israel. And neither are the seed of Abraham all children. And the reason is the Abrahamic seed, brothers and sisters, was through Isaac, not Ishmael. And the reason it came through Isaac is because it had to be grace. The reason it had to be Isaac, because that grace was Sarah. The reason the grace was Sarah was because Isaac came out of her dead womb. Out of her dead womb. Isaac's birth was wholly and solely of God. It wasn't of man. It wasn't of anything of natural man. It was nothing of the flesh. It was of God. Amen? See, that's the beauty again that follows, as you see, even with the birth of our Savior. That seed, praise God, was planted there in Mary. Praise the Lord. Grace, grace, grace. Let me tell you, that's God's election. We'll just get to it. It's grace, it's mercy. This was the election. This was the election, Isaac, out of the nation to whom the promises were given by grace. Promises are always given by grace. It's grace that gives that. And then by God's grace, he gives us faith to believe it. And thanks be to God that we do. What do we have faith in? We have faith in his grace. The word of his grace. That's what his word is. His word is grace. Jesus Christ, the word, full of what? Grace and truth. The word is grace. His truth is grace. Our faith, our confidence, praise God, needs to be in grace. Because that's what the word is. We thank the Lord as he ties this in. And again, that fit, tightly fit and jointly and compacted, here we go. Now, in verse 13, we see here, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, some read that and they think, oh my, that just is something terrible and horrible. Well, it is hurtful. People will read that and bring out, so well, see, there it is. Some are predetermined for heaven and some are predetermined hell. Now, that is not true. And it's not even in this verse. And here's why. I want to explain this to you. Know this. This was not spoken of God until those two sons were grown up. And you'll find that in Micah. And when they were grown, their natures were manifested. Jacob manifested grace in the new man. Now, that was because, again, that seed was in him. And Esau, we know, magnified the flesh. God loves his grace, and God hates the works of the flesh. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way God has set it up, because God gave us his only begotten Son. The election, which means God's choice, is grace. Always. It will never change. The promise is by faith in that grace. Hallelujah. It's not in works. And we're thankful because here it comes to us once again, another facet of the diamond. We've been hearing this all along. This isn't something new that has popped out. This is the same by grace through faith, by grace through faith. That's what this is. That's what the Word of God has always been. And here God is making it plain. God rejects anything of the old creation in any nation. Know that, in any nation. He rejects anything of the old creation in Israel, in any nation. It must be by grace through faith. That's the beauty of it all. He's not a respecter of persons. He even showed that in the Old Testament, didn't he? See, remember how we rejoiced in the Old Testament brides? Amen. Those precious women of faith, they had faith. And you know what? They weren't of Israel. They were Gentiles. That Rahab, and you have these different ones like Ruth, and my, you know, they just, how dare those women? Well, they saw that it was theirs, and they went after it. They said, wait a second, this is by faith. This isn't some exclusive club. This is believing in the blood. And I thank God how the Lord showed us these things. You think about Rahab and that precious scarlet thread that went out of her window. You don't think she loved the blood. Hallelujah. God did it, and he made it known. Now, let's go ahead here to verses 14 and 15. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, God could have stopped right there, and that would have been enough. You know why? Because he's God. But he's going to explain to us what he's really talking about here. And what he's talking about here is whom he foreknew. See, God is still all-knowing. He still knows. He still would not have one to perish. He gave his son, and his son died for the sin of all men. All men. Every man. He took every sin upon him. It was there for every man. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. It wasn't just salvation. He wanted every one to have the fullness of whatever would be offered at that time. And for our time, we know this would be even the bridal truth. See, this is the wonderful, amazing, passionate, beautiful, loving God whose foreknowledge is everything. There isn't anything that is hidden from him. He knows because he's God. And we're thankful. But this would have been enough. But he says, I'm going to have mercy, son, on whom I'll have mercy. And I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. God has the right to do whatever he chooses because he's God. And I thank the Lord. He's my God. Amen. And he's for me. And he loves me. And I'm of him. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord that that's how it is. And what God chooses is he chooses his grace. And what God chooses is he chooses his mercy. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the beautiful Son, Jesus, whom all fullness, all grace, all truth dwells. Praise be to God. So, what we have here is there is no mercy on the old man. There is no mercy on the old man. The mercy, praise God, is all on grace. That's been the theme. Romans, that's the theme. The mercy is grace. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Now, and I could even, we could go right back to, you know, we go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace. See, they're going to always be found together. Mercy and grace. It's always the same. It's always there. And that's what God does. We're going to find how much, and we dwell on this verse so sweetly, how much he loves his mercy. So verse 16, it says, so then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that showeth mercy. I love that. See, his choice, that's what he loves. He loves his mercy. And all he wants you to do is take of that free gift. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't just call it a gift. He called it a free gift. And it's been freely given. and it's all ours. And we've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And as we've heard in all of the stories in so many ways, shapes, places, and forms, you know what? My love exceeds to you all the other women. Do you hear him say that to you? Do you hear him say that to you? Do you hear him, you know, say that, you know, my love, my dove, my fair one? Did you already forget what we read on Sunday? You know, what you go in here to find is what you'll get. Well, you know, that's just too much for me. Well, I'll tell you what. They've got an innumerable number of palms. They'll never run out of them. They just won't. But them crowns. Search out the matter. Praise God. Search it out. Now, we're thankful how he does this, and we're thankful for this encouragement. But this mercy, praise God, that he gives, it's you. The requirement, brothers and sisters, is just to recognize it. Isn't that wonderful? I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that he must increase and I must decrease. The more I decrease, praise be to God, the more I realize his mercy. The more that it's the beauty of his mercy that is the magnificence of his glory upon that vessel. The ones that truly have exuded the love of Christ, the joy of the Lord, the thankfulness, praise God, of praise in their lives, were ones, thanks be to God, lowly. Didn't matter. Now, I'm not saying that they necessarily had lowly places necessarily in the world. God put them all different places. Let me tell you something. Joseph had a humble heart. Oh, yes, he did. And God made him second in command of basically the entire world in a way. But he always had that lowly heart. He was a man that would weep for his brethren. His brethren that did him wrong, that would love him. All he wanted to do was love. All he wanted to do was praise God and thank him. Praise God. Now, let's go on here. Verses 17 through 21. Love of Christ constrain us. Amen. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose. Now remember how we said here just a minute ago, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion upon whom I'll have compassion. Well, here's why. This is what God foreknew. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. Isn't that something? And we know Pharaoh, he hardened his heart. He stiff-necked as stiff-necked could be. But where was God? What was God going to do? He was going to show his power where? In him. This is God we're talking about. Don't get confused. He's God. He's God. And he's going to tell you, let me tell you something. These are all the vessels. And you know who made every one of them? Me. Me. And there's vessels of honor and dishonor. There's vessels of wrath. And oh, there's vessels of glory. All right? Get this. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Oh, I love that. There are a lot of self-willed men and women like Pharaoh. Yes. Refusing to yield to what? Grace. That's the whole point. They refuse to yield to grace. And I'm very sad because we do know these kind of people. And a lot of these people we care for very much. They might be close to us in certain ways. And it's interesting because just like Pharaoh, oftentimes those, the more that they hear the word of God, it only stirs up more hatred. Isn't that something? Have you ever ministered to people like that? Where you, God had given you that opportunity and you thought, oh my, we're just going to go in here and you know, the Lord's just going to just roll out the love and here we, and you start rolling that out and you just see truly Beelzebub before you. They're growing horns as you're saying something to them. If you haven't, you haven't preached the word enough. We're seeing it in abundance right now. And we are in this world, and especially in this country. And what happens is the word of God, you know, it's sharp. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's all powerful. And you know what? It discerns the intents of the hearts of men. So what this does is it brings to the surface the deep hatred and the depravity of man and the heart of man. The only way that there is an exception is the blood of Jesus. The only exception, the only way out of that is grace. Grace takes that away. And you're thankful. The new creation, all in Christ. Now, what we've read here, it's shocking to some. It's hurtful to some. Some that don't know the word of God, it can be somewhat confusing. But all I can say is, but God. Because all of this that we have just read and all of this purpose is his master plan. We go back to his foreknowledge. As the word of God says, he will utilize the wicked for the day of evil. Just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't get by him. He knew Pharaoh was coming. He knew exactly who Pharaoh was. He made him. He knew what he would choose. He knew what he would do. Okay, Pharaoh, I've got a real good thing for you. For me. Now, this is how this is. Know this, brothers and sisters. And that wasn't just for that time. But know it in your life. See, know the power of God. If he be for you, who could be against you? See, this is the thing. And you think of the love wherewith you're loved. You think of the love of the Holy Ghost shed abroad love that we have. You think of that passion. Now does, as you start to think about Pharaoh and in Egypt, and then you start to think about Joseph with his brothers and, you know, all of the different wrongs. Just get over it. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. For my good. And I thank the Lord. He perfects that which concerns me. He orders my steps. He's made, you know, he's made a buffet. A buffet. There's a table for me. In the presence of my enemies. And let me tell you something. That isn't for just someday. That's for me right now. Oh, praise be to God. And as the Lord said, you know, you do good unto them that spitefully use you. It's like a heaping coals of fire on their head. I found this out. I appreciate my sweet mom. She gave me this truth a long time ago. I remember as a kid in school, once in a while, there'd be a kid had a beeline for me or something of that nature. I got to tell you this story. The Lord showed it to me even when I was a little guy. Mom will tell you, I'm not fudging at all. There was a raven. There was a pet. Lived two streets over. That raven was Ebenezer. And that was a big old bird, about that big. And that bird, God allowed to terrorize me. I went to school. My mother would drop me off. That school had about 500-600 kids in it. And we'd all come out. That bird would be sitting up in that wire. And I'm telling you, every single day, that bird would take off. And it would come from my head. And I would be screaming and running. I mean, it was like out of the movies, the birds. I'm telling you, every single day, my mom will tell you that I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making up a story at all. It was absolutely terrorizing. As I got a little bit older, and I didn't like that at all. Don't you get me wrong. God had them finally move away and take that Dirty bird. No wonder I was a hunter and raised hunting dogs. I got back at birds. But God showed me how he can single you out. And he can single you out for a lot of things. I remember I had certain teachers that hated me. I mean, they hated me. I had one in high school. She was bound determined to give me a bad mark. So bound determined that she made me come back and do a test again in the summertime. Trigonometry 2, I don't even know how to say it anymore. God brought me back in there, and you know what? He gave me an A. In the middle of summer, as a junior in high school, what do you think I was thinking about? Susie, Jane, Vic, Polly, excuse me. Going to get myself in trouble. But you see where I'm going with this. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. They meant it for evil, and God meant it for good. And then God gives you kids, and then it ramps it right up. I don't have grandkids yet, but I'm sure that even goes to a whole different level. And they mean it for evil. But God who fights for me, and God who is on my side, and God who does all things well. Now, this is God's master plan. The potter has power over the clay. All vessels, every man. This is God we are talking about here. The God who made Adam. And I love how Sister Bodie rejoiced in this. She said, oh, he didn't make him sinful, but he knew fully well Adam would become sinful. See, God knows. God knows what he's made. God knows exactly what it will do. But all so perfectly made and ordered for one thing, the new creation that came in and through the life and blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus. Now, here comes the glory, praise God, the conclusion for us. This now turns to us and for us. So all of this, if you will, orneriness, all of this disorder of man, but God. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make, this is verse 22, his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Let's go back and read that again. I jumped on that quick. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. See, if we didn't have that going on, I'll tell you what, there'd be no suffering together with Christ. There'd be no reigning and ruling together with him. Praise be to God. The beautiful fight, good fight of faith. The vessels prepared afore unto glory. This was the afore glory that was seen in his Son, the Lamb slain. The afore glory. It's not good for man to live alone. All of that afore glory. You think so, vessels of mercy? Oh, yes. All a perfectly ordered plan. And oh, that he did this. He is long-suffering, allowing this for one reason, for me. And you can say that. For you, praise God. This glory of it all the glory given to the vessels of mercy. That's us. And it's true, isn't it? Praise the Lord. That's the pattern for mercy. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The bride descending, having the glory of God. And know this, we've read through this many times, this verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. That's all he's seen for you. That's all the plan of Christ in you, the hope of glory is. That's when you go back and we rejoice in Galatians 4:1. He's made us Lord of all, kings, glory, honor, praise, hallelujah, that we would be glorified together with him. I will make them come, bow down and worship before thy feet, and I will make known to all that I have loved thee. If that isn't glory, well, that is the only glory, because she is his glory. Because why? Because of the election. Grace. It's beautiful. Beautiful. And just to surrender and to grow in that knowledge of it, that's how we grow up. But know this, to make known, where it says to make known the riches of his glory, that means the fullness of all his riches, not some of his riches, but all of his riches. That pattern was set forth in all of the stories pretty much of the Old Testament. One of the glories that comes to mind all the time is Esther. It wasn't just some of the kingdom. It wasn't what, you know, what you request. He just cut her off at the pass. What's mine is yours. You couldn't even ask for anything that you won't have because it's already given. You already have it because how much I love you. That's how we come to him. We have it just because he loves us. Wasn't that kind of what we read about Israel when we started off tonight, didn't we? It wasn't because they were great in number. It's because, you know what? I love you. I just love you. And I'll tell you what, when you're born of God, when you're his child, he loves you. He loves you. He's there with all his backing for his sons. Because he loves you. That is what mercy's plan is. All the glory of his grace in us who believe. The vessels of mercy. I think about the cherubim. It just makes it more beautiful. It just gives me more vision. You think about the cherubim that come out of the mercy seat. They're made one with the mercy seat. They're made one of that beaten gold. Praise God. That's why he's enduring. It's part of the joint sufferings together with him. I don't like this, what this world does. Mm-mm. It's uncomfortable. But I know he's got me here. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And that eagle stirs up her nest. Puts them thorns in there and all these things. But without that uncomfortable, you'd never soar. And I'd never fly. Hallelujah. So this is what he's getting us ready for. Now, verse 23 again. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us. So in case you didn't think he was talking about you, Paul said, even us. Hallelujah. Whom he hath called, not of the Jews only. So let's not get confused. But also of the Gentiles. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is offered to all. This is offered to all. All of this stuff coming forth now, offered to all. But the word here where it says called, it even has more meaning. That means there's a meaning in that to the highest. You're called to the highest. Even of the Jew and the Gentile. Praise God. This is what we're dealing with now in this church age. Praise be to God. Now, verse 25 kind of puts it all together. So, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he said in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Now, brothers and sisters, this has so much passionate, vast meaning. Because this is speaking directly to you. And it's directly to me. But this is also speaking directly to the remnant as well of Israel. And that wonderful remnant. And Israel itself as well too in the millennial time. When that unfaithful wife will be made faithful again. We have so much here because this is how incredible our God is. But let's allow the Word of God to minister to us in this and in the this riches, because I want to take this, praise the Lord, tonight for us in this meaning. See, from verse 23, where it says, all the riches of his glory is given to his vessels of mercy, I want you to notice here again in verse 25 what it says here. It says, I will call them my people. See, it wasn't for the Gentile until he came unto his own and his own received him not. And then he turned to the people that were not his people. So there's that meaning to us right there. So I will call them my people, which were not my people. But wait a second. And her beloved, which was not beloved. There's an out of in here. See, and as we break this down, he calls them his people. That means that they're of my stock. That means they're of me, born of me. All of God's children, praise God. All of us are born of God that believe on Jesus. We are of him. But then there is more. Out of the people, there is her, the beloved. Oh, yes. Let's read what this beloved means. It means prized above all. And it goes on to say, not willing to do without. Now, when I hear not willing to do without, now it brings me over to the thought of Solomon, who said, well, if I don't have her, I don't have a kingdom. Remember how he said that about little Abishai? If I don't have her, then I have no kingdom. Remember when his mom, Bathsheba, wanted to, oh, you know, just let your brother have her. You know, it's okay. Oh, you think so, Mom? Well, let me tell you how much I love her. If I give her away, I don't have a kingdom. I will call her beloved, which was not beloved. Like I said, what do you want to see in here? What do you want to see? I want to search out the matter as a king. Praise the Lord. Now, here we go. This exactly follows and traces the pattern of the Old Testament brides. You think about Rahab. All those with her that she brought out, they were brought in. But she was the beloved one, and she was made that wife that became the very line of Christ. I mentioned about Esther. All those people were saved. All those people were brought in. But she was the beloved and made the wife. By the grace of God, let's not miss the subtle, glorious details. And the glorious details of the out resurrection hidden in all of these things. Now let's go ahead and conclude this up for tonight. Reading from verse 25. And he said, and this is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias, that's Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Oh, that makes me happy. Sometimes I think it long. He says, oh, honey, it's just short work. As Isaiah said before, except the Lord, a Sabaoth, had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness? Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. That's our wonderful Jesus. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Isn't he wonderful? So it's a sad thing, brothers and sisters. Paul was sad back then, and that sadness continues today. And there are many that will express, oh yes, that factually or whatever, Jesus died on the cross, but we must do what is right. We must hold out to the end to be saved. But God says here, isn't that wonderful? What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness? Yes. Amen. They did. Amen. We did. Hallelujah. Even the righteousness which is what? By faith. That's it. That's it. God says it's only by faith. Only by faith that will save you, not the works of the law. No flesh shall be justified with that filthy stuff. No flesh justified by the works of the law. The law was given to show us, as we know, that we are nothing but guilty. Absolutely, completely guilty. There is none righteous, no, not one. And this flesh that we have is completely incapable of doing any good. Any good. Salvation always has. Salvation will always be by one and one simple thing. And that's faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. And never forget, for our entire lives, brothers and sisters, it is impossible to please God without faith. Isn't that interesting? See how people will start that faith in the blood, but then they're somehow going to please God in a different way. And yet God tells us, in the entirety of it all, it's impossible to please me without faith. Hebrews 11, how were all of those worthies of faith? How did they obtain those things? By faith. And I'll tell you, you read about each and every one of them, a bunch of flops and failures. Come on. Disobedient. Oh, my. Henry. But yet, somehow, some way, grace got in. And they believed God. They believed God. Never forget it. As the Word of God says, it's either faith or works. And I'll tell you, when you have that faith, you're not ashamed. Amen. When you have that faith, you're not ashamed. I'll leave you with this. We're going to get to this in just a little bit, if the Lord tarry. In Romans 11, this last thing we'll read. Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That's beautiful. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. There's your answer. Oftentimes we say, I can't understand why they won't believe. Such evidence, such presence of truth, such grace, such glory. Everything points to it. But yet, the one thing that will always blind them is if they're blinded to grace. Amen. Let's stand, be dismissed.